The following is a presentation of the best of Car Talk. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Applied Social Psychology here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, here's another, I guess I have to call it self-evident conclusion, brought to us by our buddies in the wonderful world of academia.
Hey, watch it.
Oh.
Don't mess with academia. Those people can't get jobs anywhere else.
That's true.
And they have to do this stuff.
It's nasty work, but someone has to do it.
Someone has to do it.
This is from the most recent Journal of Applied Social Psychology, Dateline Atlanta, Georgia. You're right. This is heavy-duty stuff. People exiting parking spaces will move more slowly if they know someone is waiting for the spot. And if they're honked at, people will move even more slowly.
As it should be, I think.
Well, like our ancestors, says Penn State sociologist Barry Ruback, who conducted the study, we humans...
With federal monies.
We'll get to that in a minute.
We presume.
We humans still defend our territories. The study found that on average, drivers took 32.2 seconds to pull out of a spot after opening the car door. But if someone was waiting, it took almost 7 seconds longer. And if someone was honking, it took 43 seconds instead of 32.2 seconds.
Yeah. That's as it should be.
Now,
I think.
Here's the second part of the study. Yeah. Ruback also found that male drivers were affected by the type of car that was waiting for the space.
Yeah.
When he waited, you get this, you're ready for this? When he waited for a spot in a $57,000 Infiniti Q45, $57,000 Infiniti Q45, men pulled out in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas when he waited for the spot in a $5,000 beat-up station wagon, men took 40 seconds.
Ooh.
Women, they didn't care what kind of car was waiting.
They're not impressed by cars.
Weren't impressed. But here's my question. What happened to the Infiniti when the study was over?
Yeah, that's a question.
Can you see the NIH grant application now? Research, $3,000. Materials, $57,000.
And what I want to know is, where's the $5,000 car? I'll take that. Now, interesting. I mean, what would happen if you were in a 63 Dodge Dart? In other words, does it work the other way, too?
Oh,
the other way.
Is it like
when people get out faster, figuring that you ain't going to last that long.
Well, with a car like your Dart, they figure you might ram them if they don't get out fast enough. I mean, it's pretty obvious that you take your time when someone, so you try to rush someone, they slow down.
I don't think they measured it right. They measured it from the time the person opened the door. They should have measured it from the time they got to the door. What about all the time you see the woman standing there fishing around in the black hole that she calls a pocketbook, trying to find the keys to the car? That's a half a minute right there, maybe 2-3 minutes.
Could be.
Yeah, I would have counted from then.
Well, you have a chance to put in your own application. Maybe you too.
Where's the NIH grant stuff?
Can drive a $57,000 Infiniti Q45. But they...
You know,
I mean, someone ought to do a study that we can learn something from, don't you think?
Well,
you should find out if women are more attracted to guys in Miatas or RAV4s. I mean, that's what most guys want to know.
Yeah, that's true. Why are we wasting our time on this kind of? Well, it's not wasting time because these guys published a paper in the very prestigious Journal of Applied Social Psychology, and by publishing that paper, Mr. Ruback or whatever his name is, is one step closer to tenure.
Yes.
One step closer to getting a job for the rest of his life where he will not have to ever do stupid research like this again.
He can't wait.
That's what it's all about.
I guess it is. Now, if you want to call us about your stupid question about your car or parking or exiting a parking spot or whatever, our number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Jessica from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Jessica. What's going on?
Well, I drive a 1997 Audi A4, and it's not actually my car, it's my boyfriend's car, but I do most of the driving. And recently, when I'm stopped at like a stoplight or whatever, it starts kind of fluttering.
Did he lose his license or something? Why are you doing most of the driving?
No. He drives this ridiculous little Vespa thing that is a whole nother issue. But
there's nothing ridiculous about a Vespa.
No, it's hilarious. It's like a probably a 76. It's pretty old. It's like five different colors of green paint.
Oh, man.
Oh, it sounds great.
It's awesome, actually. But I've never been on it. I prefer the Audi.
Okay. So what does it do again, the Audi?
Okay, so it starts fluttering, and then sometimes it completely stalls out, and, you know, all the lights on the dashboard go on, and I have to restart it. And it starts right back up. I completely know how to drive a manual, and I'm not stalling out. My foot is totally down on the clutch, but he does not believe me at all. He thinks that I'm just stalling out because it's never happened to him.
Explain exactly what happens.
Okay. So
you come to a stoplight,
mm-hmm.
and you put just one foot on the brake,
yep.
the other foot on the clutch.
Exactly.
You're in gear?
Yes. And it's sort of fluttering. Like, you can sort of see the RPMs go
up and down. Mostly
pretty,
down.
You know, always below one, but sometimes it gets really, really low.
Yeah.
And then it turns off completely.
Right.
And if you were to shift into neutral.
See, I did that once and put the emergency brake on, and it just totally shut off.
Yeah, so I think we can be safe in assuming that it ain't you.
No, it's not me, I swear.
So the real question is, do you dump this boyfriend or not?
Right.
Because
exactly.
if he doesn't believe you. I mean, what kind of a boyfriend is this?
He's all right most of the time.
He's all right.
Nah, well, and most of the time.
And you don't have a car of your own, right?
No, I sold mine when we moved to D.C.
Okay, then you got to stick with him.
I know. It's tough. It's a tough life.
It's a tough life.
I should maybe learn how to drive the Vespa.
Yeah, no, I think you have something simple with this car.
Okay.
Or I hope. I mean, it sounds like you have a vacuum leak. The fact that the engine RPM goes up and down. And is the check engine light on?
Is.
Great.
Oh, you forgot to mention that little fact.
I was going
to
ask about that. Yeah. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Well, that's good. That's good because that makes it easier.
Okay.
And it makes it easier because your mechanic will hook up a scanner, and they'll download information from the car's computer,
okay.
which hopefully will tell it what's going on.
Okay. Sounds straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know.
And it's not going to be something that's going to cost $10,000 to fix.
I was
fix.
Just going to ask, should I take this to a bad neighborhood and leave it?
You might want to do that. But it could be $1,000.
Right.
It could be.
You know what it's going to be? An oxygen sensor.
It could be that. Yeah, it could be.
That's it. That's it. I can feel it.
Oxygen.
I can feel it.
You know, I'll tell you, Jessica. Once or twice, he's like Rain Man.
Okay.
Yeah, once or twice a year, he watches Judge Wapner, and he comes up with a great answer about something, and he may be right on.
Okay, oxygen.
I tell you, we were playing poker one day with my cousins and our 93-year-old aunt, and they play some wacky game where a bunch of cards are on the table, face down, and the one in the middle, we turn that one over. The person who has one card higher than that, so if it's the five of hearts, you're going to have the six of hearts. You win half the pot. And so we're playing this game, and they get to the middle card, and I say, it's the six of spades. And they all look at me like, what are you talking about? They turn it over, it's the six of spades. And who's got the seven of spades? Me. They thought I had fixed the deck, but I didn't deal. I was nowhere near the card.
So he does it again on the next hand.
And the next hand,
God.
I call the right card again. Now they really start to lay a beating on me.
This is where we dragged him outside. We started striking him with baseball bats. But anyway, so once in a while, and for reasons unknown to any of us,
I know the
especially
answer.
Him, he comes up with an answer that is absolutely right, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that'll be a lot less than $1,000.
Oh, thank goodness.
Good luck, Jessica.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 188. Yeah, Frank, an inspirational
thought. It just happens. I can't
thought.
I can't answer why it happens, nor do I want to, because I am unencumbered by the thought process.
Yes. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Chris from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. How about yourselves?
We're great. What's going on? How can we help you?
I have a 2001 Mazda Protege,
yeah.
And I started noticing if I'm cruising to a stop at like a stop sign, all of a sudden my steering wheel starts clicking to the left. It ticks like the second hand on a clock.
Oh, and you can actually feel it moving.
Yes, I don't like my hands are not on the steering wheel, and it just starts gradually ticking to the left, and the car starts swerving.
Does it continue to click left, or does it click back and forth?
Huh, it seems like it does it just about three or four times, and it's just to the left.
Okay.
And then when I'm accelerating, the steering is out of control, like, you know, beyond what would be an alignment problem. It's like I'm fighting to keep it straight on the road.
What do you have, 47,000 miles in this thing?
It's about 52,000.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
I had some brake work done recently that was bad brake work. They put faulty pads on.
Oh, yeah?
So I didn't know if maybe that might have contributed to throwing the alignment off. It just seems like it's worse than just a basic alignment problem.
Oh, no. It sounds to me like, yeah, it is worse because it sounds to us like you need a tire or maybe more than one.
That's so funny because I just got 4 brand new tires put on.
Uh-huh.
Well, you may have a bad one or you may have one that's ready to fall off.
Wait, you put the tires on before this problem occurred?
Yeah, the tires were put on at 42,000.
And when did this thing start happening?
Pretty recently. I would say within the last month.
Yeah, uh-huh. You could have something called tread separation.
Okay.
Which can cause this pulling of the wheel to one side.
Right.
Every time, and it's coincident with a full revolution of the wheel.
Okay.
You may notice that. So if you're going at the right speed, you almost can visualize, you know, how fast the wheels are turning. And you may say, oh, gee, every time that wheel turns, you know, 360 degrees, I get this tug on the steering wheel.
Right.
And if you double the wheel speed, you'll notice that the tugs come twice as often. If you increase it enough, they get damped out. They can't come fast enough.
And there's no noise associated with this?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, we think you have a bad tire.
Wow.
Yeah. Either you have tread separation or you're about to have tire separation.
Okay.
And loose wheel nuts can cause the same kind of thing. So that would be the first thing I would check.
Okay, so what I would do is take it to the place where I had the tires put
well,
on.
Well, you can check it yourself in front of the house. I mean,
great.
As far as loose wheel nuts, you can put a, you know, the wrench on there that you would use to change a flat just to make sure that the wheels aren't going to fall off. But if they're okay, and I'm guessing they are going to be okay, then I would take it to the tire place and suggest that you have a bad tire.
Okay.
Yeah, and they should give you another one, but they'll prorate it, you know.
Right, and so are you thinking that it might be that front left tire because that's where it's the direction of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah, it could be easy.
That's great. See, that's why I want to call you guys first, because I didn't want to sit at the mechanics for hours and have them...
Yeah.
Yes. Send you a new transmission.
You've been waiting on hold for hours.
A new catalytic converter that I didn't need to start off with.
No, hey. I think that's going to do it.
That's great. Thank you so much.
All right, Chris. See
you,
man.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think we got 2 for 2 so far.
Should we quit now? I mean, where can it go from
here? It isn't going to get better.
No. It can't get better than
okay.
This. Okay.
You wasted another
12 minutes listening to Car Talk. Oh, boy. Let's take our chances. Come
cool.
on. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sybil from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, Sybil.
Sybil.
Sybil, you have a weighty responsibility here, as you probably know from being on hold.
Yes.
We're 2 for 2.
Okay.
You're from where, Sybil?
At Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson.
So you have an opportunity to make us 3 for 3, which we haven't done since the 1986 World Series. But go ahead.
Okay. I have a 1996 Saturn, which I bought about 9 months ago, which I like very much. But in the last about 3 months, every time I accelerate in when I'm not going too quickly, my car whistles. It makes a loud, high-pitched whistling sound, which I will happily demonstrate for you if you like.
Oh, sure.
Okay, it sounds something like this.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Thank you.
And tell us exactly when this happens.
It happens. It stops when I go fast. It doesn't have to. My foot doesn't have to be on the accelerator. But if I'm going at a certain speed, even if I take my foot off, it continues the noise. If I'm going like 20 or 25, as soon as I hit 30, 35, 40, it tends to go away.
Oh, jeez. I knew we should have quit. Sybil.
Oh, man.
All right. So it starts at when you're stopped. It doesn't do it, obviously.
No.
You have to be moving.
Yes.
Have you ever tried revving the engine, like putting it in neutral and revving it to see if you can duplicate it?
Well, I've had it in neutral, and it doesn't do it.
But did you rev up the engine? Step on the gas?
No, I didn't rev it.
You didn't do that?
No.
No, most people aren't aware that you can do that.
No.
Right? You didn't think you could do that, did you?
I didn't,
There's a state law against it in Arizona. In other states, you'd have to cross the border to do
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. See, that would have been a very big help to us because that would tell us if it was related to the engine or everything else in the car.
Yeah. In fact, if it happened when the car wasn't moving, we could eliminate hundreds of pieces.
Okay.
Instead, we have to guess about them all.
Like we do with everything else we do.
I'm so sorry.
How far away is the car?
Right now? It's right outside.
Go out and do it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Really?
Just start it up. Leave it in neutral.
Put it in neutral and just rev the engine and see if it makes a noise.
Is it a stick shift car?
No, it's a regular automatic.
Oh, leave it in park.
Leave it in park. Let the engine warm up for a minute.
Okay.
And then rev it up to the speed of the engine that you think would ordinarily give you the noise.
Okay.
And see if, in fact, the noise is there.
Okay, I will do that right now.
You know what we'll do? We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to go ahead and answer last week's puzzler.
Okay.
And we'll come back to you. Right.
Sure you will.
Oh, we will. We promise.
Oh, Sybil, we'll be there for you.
Okay, great. I'll be right back.
Okay, sure. Nice talking to you.
You too.
Be right back. Hey, are you ready for your puzzler hints?
No. I'm never ready, and you know that I'm never ready.
All right, look, here's the first one. While your wife is out shopping, you sneak into her closet, put on one of her dresses and stiletto heels. You are then in what?
In what? I know what I'm out of. The army. That's how Klinger did it.
That's true. The answer is drag. You would be in drag.
Drag, yeah.
Okay, here's the second one. Complete the following cliche. A man hits 50, looks in the mirror, sees his bald spot, his sloping shoulders, his paunch, and he runs out and buys himself a what?
A new mirror.
No? A sports car. The puzzle was about a drag race between sports cars. And we'll be back with the answer
that one
in just a minute. I couldn't help notice that he for us, you're relating to you. You can drive it till wheels fall off and roll, good it'll do. Sometimes it's fine to take a ride in a beat up automobile. The contraption like that, two tires flat, no take it downhill. Oh, Lexus, get together like Cadillac. Get to know you when Porsche come. Chevrolet will never make a song. I can't afford to let you go. Don't dodge my Westwood Cadillac. Be linking up with me. And even though guys who install car radios quit on ethical grounds whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout-out to thank our sponsor, Emma. Now, these guys offer tools for email marketing. With Emma, you can create sophisticated automated email campaigns and deliver targeted messages to your audience. Well, you can. We just create our annoying Time Kill Weekly and Puzzler newsletters. Emma's interface is so intuitive, even our Car Talk web lackeys have figured it out. Who would have thought? Your team can create great-looking emails in a drag-and-drop editor and track the results easily using an interactive click map that shows where people are clicking in your email. Emma's great for marketing teams or agencies who want to upgrade from the more DIY services but don't want the complexity and expense of an enterprise system. Give them a try at myemma.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle.
I just want to tell you in advance that no matter what you say the answer is, well, there's going to be a lot of controversy about it.
As long as there's one word that I don't hear, I'll be happy. As long as I don't hear, Gus, 7.
Well, we'll see.
Here it is. A couple of months ago, my brother and I went out and bought identical sports cars. Why did we do that, you ask? Because we like to drag race. Anyway, on the hottest day of the summer, I'm driving along in my car, and I come to a traffic light. I've got the windows up, the AC on, the stereo on full blast, and who pulls up next to me but my knucklehead brother. And like a knucklehead, he's got all his windows open, he's got the sunroof open, he's blasting Sleepy LaBeef on the stereo at full volume. So I call him on the cell phone and I say, hey, you want to drag race to the next light? It's like half a mile away.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And he says, wait a minute, I got to turn the radio down, I can't hear you. Finally, he says, okay, you're on, Piston Puss. Now, the cars are identical. Our skills are identical, I'm sure you assume that.
Yeah, we can assume it.
The light turns green, and we both floor it. Who wins the race, and why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at first blush,
Yeah, there are many blushes here.
You might think that Tommy wins the race.
Why would I think that?
Because I've got the AC on, and that's robbing power from the engine.
Yeah.
And even though he has the windows open and the sunroof open, we're both playing the stereos full blast, that loss of power getting to the wheels because the air conditioner's on is going to mean the difference in the race.
Yeah.
But I have my windows closed. Why? Because I'm not a knucklehead.
You got the AC on.
And I've got the AC on. You wouldn't have the windows closed if the AC weren't on. And more than that, here's the little piece that's missing. Most cars have built into their circuitry a throttle position switch, which lets the computer shut the air conditioner off when you floor the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I floor the gas pedal, not only do I have the advantage of having the sleek aerodynamics
of the closed windows,
of the closed windows, but I also have the air conditioner off, just like Tommy, who thinks he's going to win, but he loses because he's a knucklehead. So?
Well, since you changed it.
Change what?
You made the next traffic light be a mile away. That's not a drag race. The next traffic light is a block away, in which case I would have said it would make no difference whatsoever. There wasn't enough time for anything to make any difference. But I'm going to give it to you anyway.
All right, anyway, do we have a winner?
Yeah, we got a winner. It's a bogus
Boy, question. Sour grapes!
I knew when you said this puzzle last week, we were going to fight. Because I knew exactly where you were going.
All right, that's it. Bow on, you do the puzzler.
Our winner is Judy Wilson from Bradenton. Oh, Bradenton, Florida.
Yeah.
Bradenton, there's something in Bradenton, like a...
Pittsburgh Pirates
spring training
camp.
That's it. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Judy's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with that gift certificate, she can get about 1.5 copies of our great CD, Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs.
Yeah, no, this is actually a collection of the best of those car-related tunes that we play when we're heading off to a station break.
They're very good, actually. It may be our best album yet. You know why? We're not in it.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial. But in the meantime, we're going to get right back to Sybil. Sybil, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey!
Hi.
I'm sorry, we were gone a little longer than we had thought we'd be gone, but okay. What did you find out?
Yes, it makes a noise.
Ah! That narrows it down immensely.
It does narrow it down immensely.
So when did it start? I mean, you stepped on the gas.
It started almost immediately.
It did. Make the sound again.
Okay.
And did the pitch get higher as you put more effort on the gas pedal?
Yes, it does.
It does.
Uh-huh.
And it started as soon as you started stepping on the gas?
Yes.
And it stopped as soon as you took your foot off the gas?
No.
No, it had to come down. The RPMs had to come down.
That's good. And you have any sense of where the noise is coming from?
It seems like it's coming either from under my foot or like the nose of the car. If the car had a nose, it would be the nose was wheezing. That's how I sort of describe it.
I'll tell you, the first thing that comes to mind is an exhaust leak.
Get out.
An exhaust leak?
Yeah, an exhaust leak.
That's what I said. An exhaust leak.
You did? Oh. Because exhaust that's coming through it under high pressure through a small crack in a manifold or a gasket that's failed or whatever can make a very high-pitched sound like this.
Okay.
And it would not be there at idle, but would be there when you started to accelerate and then would diminish rapidly as the engine decelerated.
Right.
And it would be there whether you were moving or not.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
I like it. Unfortunately, there's no way to tell for sure, so I'd say we're not 3 for 3, but we may be.
No, but what's good about this is you can take this into the garage, your friendly neighborhood mechanic, and you can find it in a minute.
I mean, it could also be a faulty water pump. It could be a bad belt tensioner. It could be a timing belt that's ready to go. There are lots of things it can be.
Okay.
And if it turns out to be not the exhaust system, then what he'll do, or she'll do, is start taking pieces off.
Okay.
Until they find the offending piece. And they'll
The rubber hose will do it. If he or she puts a rubber hose, one end of it in his ear, and moves the other one around to the various pieces that it could be, That noise, when he finds it, will be so clear.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, thank you. I was just inspired to call because you talked about noises the other day and said there are two different kinds of people, the kind of people that let them go until the car broke and the kind of people that called in, so I thought I'd call.
Oh, so you resolved to not be one of those people who lets it go till the wheels fall off.
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, good for you, Sybil.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interestingly, we got an email the other day from someone who said, "You've saved our lives." Evidently, he and a bunch of other people carpool to go to work every day, and they take turns, and one of the cars that they drive, every time they get up to some speed, it starts making a similar noise as this Sybil described, and they kept wondering, what is that noise? And they heard us talking about this noise and saying that it could well be a wheel bearing. And we said, when wheel bearings break, they don't break. They fail. And when they fail, the wheel stops turning. And he said, you told us that the wheel would stop turning and you'd find yourself headed for the semi going the other way on the highway.
That'll do it.
And he said, we immediately took the car to the garage, and that's exactly what was wrong with it. You saved our lives.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, what do we get? We getting a prize?
No, he sent us that letter. That was it.
That was it, okay.
He wasn't thankful enough to include a little something.
Yeah, here's a little something for you guys. Right.
For the guys who did it.
Right.
No.
No, I didn't think so. Not even a Snickers
Not
bar.
Not even a Snickers bar.
Jeez.
Not even some
One
peanuts.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Craig from Carlsbad, California.
Craig!
How are you?
Hey,
not
Craig.
Not bad.
I've got a burning question that's been driving me crazy for years. It's not unlikely for most Californians to own more than one vehicle.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that you have sometimes is you forget what side the gas filler pipe's on when you drive into the gas station. My question is, who determines what side the gas filler pipe winds up on?
It's done with a lottery system.
Okay.
Well, there are two schools of thought here, at least, that immediately come to mind.
Okay.
One is, if it's on the left, i.e. the driver's side, then when you pull into a gasoline station, you're doing the natural thing, which is you pull onto the right side of the gas pump, and the guy coming in the other direction pulls on his right side of the gas pump, and you guys are both on the correct side since we drive on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
The other school of thought is, and this is evidently why the Germans, and I know for a fact that the Germans have made a conscious decision to put it on the passenger side,
right,
because when you break down by the side of the road or run out of gas by the side of the
road, which Germans must do a lot,
I guess they do this a lot. Then when you're filling up the tank with that little can, putting in that gallon, you won't be standing where the semis are going by.
Which slide down the 20,000-foot abyss below.
Yeah, right.
I mean, personally, where I come out on this one is on the side of it being on the driver's side, because, I mean, how many times are you going to run out of gas and have to fill up from the highway with the semis? And the other thing is, evolutionary biology will tell you that it'll only happen once.
Right, if you...
And we'll be getting rid of the people. It's natural selection at its finest.
It is indeed.
Makes sense to me. I don't know why, but...
I think it should be on the driver's side.
Well, I think they all should be on one side or the other, but it's not possible because cars, even though they look it, are not symmetrical.
Right.
Because of the need to put an exhaust system and whatnot underneath the car, which is only on one side. So it does limit manufacturers as to where they can put the fill.
Well, my neighbor, he's got two Toyotas, a truck and a car.
Yeah.
And his truck, the filler's on the right side along with his exhaust pipe. His wife's car, her filler's on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Well,
to
none
it.
Of this was an issue until they came up with the vapor recovery. Don't you remember the old days you'd go to the gas station? If you screwed up,
right,
the guy would stretch that hose to the other side of the car.
Ah.
But none of those hoses are long enough now to stretch to the other side of your car.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't see a solution here except a new government agency. Yeah, but we're going to be working on this, Craig. Rest assured.
I'll be sleeping well tonight.
See you later.
All right, guys. Thanks for your help.
Hey, bye-bye. Thank you.
Take care.
Well, I thought Carlsbad was in New Mexico.
There's one there, too.
I should
add that some manufacturers are nice enough to put a little arrow on the gas gauge.
Yes, that tells you where the heck the stupid thing is.
And it's great because we test drive all these cars, and whenever I get one from Berman, it needs to be filled up because it's on fumes.
You pull into the gas station, and you don't have enough gas to change to the other side.
Oh, you have to change directions, you're done for.
Right?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joy from Malden.
Joy with a J?
Yes, that's right.
Malden, Mass?
Malden, Massachusetts.
What's with Malden, Massachusetts?
What do you mean? Just moved there 3 years ago, so maybe I'm not in on it.
Well, I mean, I've heard, I don't know that area very well, but I've heard that people say that Medford is Malden with trees. Is that true?
Well, that Malden is closer to being a real urban.
So Malden is Medford without trees?
I would say so. We have few trees.
You have a few trees.
Few trees.
Yeah, and Medford is a little more suburban.
Yes.
So you came here 3 years ago from where?
New Hampshire. I grew up in New Hampshire.
What part?
Southampton.
Southampton.
Which is?
The Hamptons, as we call them.
Exactly, right. Anyway, Joy, what can we do for you?
I have a 93 Honda Accord, and it's got about 140,000 plus miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I'm having is it's making a strange noise, but it's not consistent, so I haven't brought it to a garage because you know what happens when you bring a car to a garage.
Yeah, they say, well, when it makes the noise, bring it here very second. You
right.
Know.
So what happens is when I'm going at a steady speed, either on the highway or on a secondary road, about 35 miles an hour, the speed doesn't seem to matter. It loses power a little bit, and the noise sounds like this. It goes, oh, and then I take my foot off the gas and put my foot back on the gas, and it goes away.
So you're driving along. You said 35 miles an hour, then you said the speed doesn't matter.
Well, if I'm on the highway, it does it too.
It does. So it can happen at 60 miles an hour.
Right.
This is a stick shift.
No, it's an automatic.
This Joy with a J?
Yes, it is.
Just checking.
And so you're driving along. You got your foot on the gas. Everything is hunky-dory.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you hear...
Yep.
Where does it sound like it's coming from?
It sounds like it's coming from the engine, from the front of the car.
Front of the car.
Whoopee.
Something
happening? Passing a brainstone?
I just dropped a French fry down the front of my shirt.
Hot, aren't they?
That's the noise.
Yep.
And how much of a diminution of power do you feel you have, or do you think is there any chance that that's imagined and a complete fabrication on your part?
Anything's possible.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I hear on Honda Accords all the time that makes a noise just like the one you describe is a faulty distributor. The distributors fail all the time in this case. We replace a lot of Accord distributors.
Okay.
And when the distributor goes bad, it'll sound like someone has a coffee can full of marbles that they're shaking around, you know, where the marbles are kind of traveling around the outside of the coffee can or the inside of the coffee can.
Okay.
You imagine that sound?
Yep.
And then it can go away. Is that the noise?
I don't hear it that loudly, though.
Well, you might not hear it that loudly yet.
Okay.
And eventually, I think you're going to hear it when the engine is idling.
Okay.
It may even be there when the engine is idling.
Okay.
So and when that happens, I think it'll turn on the check engine light. Or in this car, the thing is called PGFI light. And when that happens, you'll know it's time to change the distributor.
Okay. So you don't recommend having it checked and replaced?
Well, I would have it checked because if someone can determine right now that the distributor is bad, then you might want to start saving up your money because it's many hundreds of dollars.
So for a 93 with 140,000 miles on it, that
cinches it. With that many miles, you definitely need one.
Okay.
I'd go out. I'd buy two. See you later. Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I hope that isn't what's wrong with her car.
Well
it could be a loose heat shield. No such luck.
No,
she's done for. All right, look, I think it's time for us to take a little break so our stations can pass along some important messages.
You mean like traffic, weather, stuff like that?
No, messages about distancing, disclaimers, and denying, you know?
The usual. We'll be back with more of your calls and a brand new puzzler in a minute, so please stay tuned.
We saw the Cadillac graveyard in dinosaur land, sang along at the Opry to a bluegrass band. The painted desert and the great sand dunes. We saw the Grand Canyon from a hot air balloon. We're on a road trip, a road trip. The miles on the dash are doing backflips. There's nothing like finding a winding road trip.
And even though the NPR IT guy looks both ways, then shoves a burger patty into our CD drive whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Ha! We're back.
Don't scare me like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. Ooh. Now, this is, I guess, from my license plate series. Well, over the years, we've had, you know, we've had these puzzles.
Over the years, you've had a puzzle about every possible series you could make up.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, we haven't had a World Series puzzle.
World Series.
But this is from my license plate series. And in the past, we've asked people to identify the kind of car that would be sporting this particular license plate. Now, I'll give you some of them from the past.
Yeah, go ahead.
One was tan 270, and the car that was affixed to was an Infiniti.
Wait a minute.
Tangent of 270.
I got that.
Is Infiniti.
Of 270,
and there was another one, 4X4X8. Or you might say 4x4x8. It must have been a 1999 sheetrock, but it was an Accord. Accord of wood is 4x4x8.
Sure, yeah.
So here's today's. You ready?
Yeah.
The license plate has four letters on it. Yeah. Now, I would credit somebody with this, except I lost his email. But if he catches us,
he'll let you know.
We'll send him a shirt or something.
Yeah.
Four letters.
Yeah.
I-N-M-Y. I like in India, N like in November, M like in Mike, Y like in Yankee.
I got it.
What's the car it's attached to? Now, if you think you know the answer.
I do.
I'm sure you, but you won't next week.
No, I won't.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
By the way, you know, if you have a potential puzzler that you'd like to send us and you might be a little bit reluctant because you feel it doesn't measure up to our high standards, don't be discouraged. We can declarify and obfuscate any puzzler into greatness. So if you got something that you say, geez, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they. Don't worry, we can fix it.
You could actually say that with a straight face.
Well, I could have if you hadn't started laughing. Look, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Justin from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi,
Justin. What's up, man?
I have a 84 S10 Chevy Blazer.
Wow, still running, huh?
Yeah, and the problem is I drive a long ways to school. It's like 45 minutes, mm-hmm. And about 20 minutes into the drive, the car just starts slowing down, losing power. And it's a stick shift, so I'll shift down to fourth, and it slows down, shift into third, and slows down, until eventually I get to first gear, and flooring the gas at top speeds like 5 to 10 miles an hour. And then I'll pull over and stop for about 15, 20 minutes and then start the car again, and it's fine for the rest of the day.
Until you start home?
Well, no, the rest of the day, it's fine. It only does it when I'm driving to school.
Only two?
Yeah.
How many miles on this thing? Feel free to use scientific notation.
There's probably about 160,000 miles on it.
160,000?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of miles. You're a candidate for just about anything.
Yeah. Well, I've put two transmissions in it also, so.
Yeah, well, it isn't the transmission, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it only happens in the morning.
Well, it only happens, like, the first time I use the car. Because I could go to school, like, around noon or 1, and it still does the same thing.
Yeah, doesn't have to be morning, but it's the first long trip of the day. If you drove for less than 20 minutes, obviously, it doesn't happen.
Right.
And when you come home from school, it isn't, like, all downhill or anything.
That's exactly.
No, it's a flat drive, so no.
It's flat in both directions.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's gradual little...
Flat in one direction, I guess it would be flat in the other direction, too.
It would have to be. It would be tough not to be. Oh, jeez.
Boy, Justin, this is good.
Have you done anything yet?
Well, I've had, let's see, when I first got the car, I got a new carburetor, but it did it before that, too.
Okay.
Well, here, I wouldn't you give me the likeliest suspects here, and you could just pick one.
Okay.
Gee, go ahead, but man. Well,
here are the things that it could be, long overnight stay or not.
Yeah.
It could be a dirty fuel filter. It could be a weak fuel pump. It could be a plugged catalytic converter.
Yeah, all of these would happen on the way home.
Well, I'm just saying.
So it couldn't be any of these things. It could be, sure, it could be the radiator, but it isn't.
No, it couldn't be the radiator.
Well, it couldn't be.
I'm trying to think of one thing of those.
That's reasonable.
That would be less likely to happen when the thing wasn't completely cooled off.
Yeah, and it's none of those so far.
Well,
keep going, man. I mean, the kinds of things that make a car lose power. Oh, my.
Wait a minute. My brother may be passing a brainstone.
No.
Come on.
I'm not.
Would you spill your coffee in your lap again?
Oh, man. 84.
Let's go back 1 minute. When it starts to go with 5 miles an hour and you pull over, then what do you do?
I turn off the engine completely. It takes a good couple of, you know, like 5-6 miles for it to gradually slow way down like that.
Right, but how long does it take before you can start it up and drive it normally again?
That's the thing. If I start it up after, you know, 5-10 minutes, it just stays slow. But if I sit there for a good 20-25 minutes and then I'm really late to class, it works just fine.
When you coast
carburetor icing.
When you coast to the side of the road. That's what it is.
I think it is.
Yeah. Do you coast in neutral? Is it coast readily? In other words, I'm trying to find out if the brakes are sticking or something like that.
No, it's just fine.
All right. Then my brother's right. It is carburetor icing.
Okay.
Unencumbered by the thought process.
Quick, alert all the news agencies.
No, I think it is.
If you open the hood, if it still opens, there is a...
It doesn't close. There is what like hood? He doesn't even have a hood.
A 2-inch diameter corrugated hose that runs from one of the exhaust manifolds to the base of the air cleaner, to something called the snorkel of the air cleaner.
Right.
That may be missing.
Okay.
If it is missing, you need to replace it. It costs about $2.
And it's frequently missing because every time you take off the air cleaner, you bend it, you twist it, and you break it.
Or it falls off one of the
street. And pretty soon you say, what the hell do I need this for? And you throw it away.
Right. The philosophy being, how important could it be if they made it out of this cheap junk?
But what it's doing is it's warming up the air before it goes into the carburetor.
So if you don't do that, ice up.
It'll ice up.
Gotcha.
So look for the missing hose, and you'll be...
Well, if the hose is there, there is also a vacuum switch that controls that little door in the snorkel. That may be broken too.
Oh, okay.
But at least you're on the right track. Then you can take it someplace and tell them what it is, and they'll say, aha!
Oh, okay.
And you'll have it fixed.
Or next time it stops, jump out and bring with you a hairdryer and play the hairdryer on the carburetor, jump back in the truck.
until the carburetor catches fire.
And then jump back in the truck,
yeah.
And everything will be fine.
Disregard that last piece of advice. See you, Justin.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dee from Oxnard, California.
D-E-E?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Dee from Oxnard.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, now that the weather's getting colder, my husband, we decided to get rid of our new cars that we were making payments on, and we decided to buy a couple previously owned cars and pay them off, so we just own them. And my husband's in the car business, so he called me, and he's like, oh, I got a white Durango, and it's got beige interior, and I'm like, oh, great, 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 you know, bring it home. So we got it. But I swore I would never get a car that didn't have heated seats again. And it doesn't have heated seats.
Yeah.
And now the cold weather's hit, and my butt's, like, freezing.
Wait, wait. How cold does it get in Oxnard?
It's cold. It's, like, in the low 50s now, and it gets in the 40s.
Low 50s? Come on.
My heart bleeds for you.
The low 50s. That's spring around here.
We're not going to see the low 50s until probably May 1st.
I'm from Rochester, New York, so I know cold.
Oh, you know cold.
And you know that 50 degrees is not cold, but and yet you become so accustomed to the mild, sissy weather you get in Oxnard.
Sissy weather.
That you can't take it anymore.
I used to go to the gym, and I would go out in the morning and put my seat heater on. And then I'd go to the gym, and I'd be like, oh, God, this feels so good. And then now I don't even go anymore because I'm just too cold to sit on the car seat.
So is you considered the hot water bottle?
How about shielding cover?
Well, there's that, you know, there is that, and that works pretty well.
Well, that would help, but you sit on a heated seat, right?
I hate them.
You do?
Well, you I think they sell. I'm not so sure, but I'm 99.9% sure that one of the companies out there that will send you a catalog any day now, as soon as they find out your name, sells a thing that you can plug into the cigarette lighter that will heat your seat. Because they even have a massage thing that you can put on your seat. You know?
That's right.
That'd be good. Well, my husband had it in his first car, and it accidentally got turned on in the summertime. And I said, honey, I don't feel good. And we couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and the heat seat was on high.
Oh, I'll tell you. I mean, a bran muffin and a cup of coffee and a heated seat, and that could be a disaster.
Well, but I don't know if this is – I think it's just a woman thing. Because one of my wife's cars had a heated seat, and I couldn't stand to have the thing on.
Now, you could, by the way. You could just buy a heated seat from the junkyard because the wiring's already there.
Oh, that's not. Oh, you have to put switches in and stuff.
Yeah, switches, smitches. You just wire the thing, leave it on all the time.
Oh, you guys, my husband. No, you know how they say husbands can't put a nail in the wall?
He can't
Mine
put a
can't
switch in?
Can't even get the hammer out of the toolbox.
But he must have some kind of connection if he's in the car business.
Oh, this is true, yeah.
Yeah, he must have some shady associates that can score a seat for him and install it.
Yeah,
and the truth of the matter
is... The junkyard is the place to buy it.
The seat doesn't have to... I mean, the switch doesn't have to be in the usual place. The switch can be any place.
Okay.
How do you like the Durango?
I love it.
Yeah?
My husband actually works for that company, so...
Dodge.
We always try to get where, you know, that product. But I like it a lot. I like the new one, though, but we've made the promise that we were going to... You know, pay our cars off and not have car payments.
Yeah, well, the new one you can get with a heated seat.
So I went and got a job because I'm going to get a new one.
With a heated seat. In the meantime, get a Shirling seat cover. I think that might be the best thing to do.
Okay.
See you later, Dee. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David White calling from Falls Church, Virginia.
Hi, David.
Falls Church, yes, sir.
What's happening, man?
Not much. I think I'm cursed.
Yeah? It could be.
And I'll tell you why. I have a 1996 Honda Accord LX with 116,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago, I went in for routine maintenance. Let's see, I had brake work done, one tire, and an oil change. That was $250. That's normal. A week later, an oil seal blew. That was $700. A week after that, the clutch, the flywheel, and the master cylinder went. Let's see, that was $1,000, and that was on the way to my niece's christening.
Oh, this is getting exponential here.
Okay, last week, the starter motor bit the dust. 385. I'm now at 2335. And now there's a bizarre noise coming from the left rear door panel. Whenever I turn the ignition switch on or off for about 10 seconds, I hear this. Just like that.
Dave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give up, man.
275.
Oh, more money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. What's wrong now, I believe, is that your fuel pump is giving out.
Oh, no. Okay. Now, why would that be?
Why not?
And how many miles do you have in this car?
116,000.
116.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, it is a bad stroke of luck that all these things should happen together.
Are they related in any way?
Only
that you own the car.
Right. Okay. Yeah, they're all related to you, but they aren't related in any way.
And none of them is really unexpected.
No, and it's the right time for all these things to go. With 116K, the clutch went, expected. The starter motor, sure, that's expected. The seal that blew, sure, that can happen. The fuel pump, I mean, how long do you think a fuel pump can last?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it's going to get worse. But it doesn't go on forever. It doesn't.
Because eventually it will just die.
No, eventually you will have replaced everything that can be replaced.
Well, okay, then I'll go ahead and prepare to have the fuel pump replaced.
Oh, absolutely. You have to do it. What's the difference?
Yeah, and think of how many new parts you have in the car now.
Sure. It's exciting.
It's like getting new hips, new knees, new ankles, or whatever.
Yeah, you could get another 10 years out of this car.
Wow.
Yeah, $2,500 a year.
which is, by the way, a lot cheaper than making payments to the bank of $500 a month.
Well, it isn't $500 a month. You could buy a new Accord probably for $350 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So $350 a month times, let's round it off. Let's say $12.
$4,000.
$4,000. So for 8 cents more a day, you could be driving a new car. Think about that, Dave.
Think about that.
See you later.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Take care.
So, bye-bye.
8 cents more a day, huh?
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
That's what falls out of your pocket when you sit on the sofa.
Exactly. Stop watching TV. You can buy two new cars. Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Calumet, Vinaigrette, Hot Baguette, Crepe Suzette, Anisette, Beef Florette, Tagamet, Huge Regret, Free Lunch Fete is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our Eastern European copy editor is Caps Lock Spellcheck. Our food salvage specialist is Dale Bread. Our green bean consultant is Harry Covert. Our Jamaican crew chief is Monroe DeBoat. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the all-night term paper vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And if you got a minute, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1449, download other barely tolerable episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a chance to do all of your holiday shopping for the people you really don't like that much. You'll find the perfect gifts for all those B-list friends and relatives at the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though female staffers hide every single trace of mistletoe whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.